Hello everyone and welcome back to Starting From The Pits. In today's episode, I'd like to welcome Formula 4 team manager at Hi-Tech Grand Prix, Dominic Stott. Hello.
Hi there.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, fresh back from the sunshine of the UAE and trying to get used to the cold again. So
yeah, definitely. It's not exactly been the best of weather to come back to.
No. I think I missed the worst, but yeah, this is bad enough.
Yeah, definitely. So let's just jump straight into things then. So the team manager for Hi-Tech Grand Prix, possibly one of the most sought after seats in the feeder series. What would you say is a key skill that you possess that helps within this role?
Probably, I don't know if it's a skill, but just like living and breathing it. I don't really believe in luck, but like I think I've worked hard to be in this position. I still pinch myself that I'm that, you know, a team manager at this level. But yeah, I think just you just have to live and breathe it. It takes over. It's 24/7. You've got to be ready to do anything at any point. But you try and just be as prepared as possible. So yeah, just attention to detail, I suppose, is a skill that
yeah, you definitely. Need to have. Do you ever switch off?
No. I'd love to say yes, but no. Like I wake up in the morning with like, and I'll sometimes write a list of the things I've thought of, or I can be driving and being annoyed that I can't write stuff down. Or yeah, no, I think I probably need a 3 week holiday, and it takes a week to switch off.
Yeah.
A week to have a holiday, and then you start switching back on again. So
yeah,
but trying to get a 3 week holiday in our job is pretty much impossible.
Definitely. And I guess with racing, you sort of invest yourself, your entire lifestyle into it. So you do kind of, I guess, get used to it.
Yeah, I think it's not a normal job. I don't think I could do a normal job, unfortunately, but it's because it's your hobby and your job. It means you don't mind putting that extra effort in. It's you know, if it's staying late or getting up early, it's you enjoy it. It's part of your job, but it is your hobby. So being away at weekends, you're racing. So it's, yeah, it doesn't feel like a chore for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I did a little bit of digging and I saw that you started as a mechanic in your career. How did it sort of feel to jump into that position of management rather than being in the mechanics area?
I was really lucky, to be honest. I said I don't believe in luck. I was in a good position where my stepfather had a race team. So when I was younger, I used to follow them around. But you know, a lot of people want to get into motorsport, and I'll always kind of encourage them to. And it's not, you don't just have to know someone, but you've got to put the effort in. I've got a brother that's a year older than me, and he didn't have an interest in it. So you've got to be interested in it. And I liked the management side of things from a young age. Playing management games on your computer, or managing football teams or anything like that. I always liked to have a say in what went on, and I always thought, you know, I can maybe do that better than other people. But you can't train as a team manager like this job. There's not a book written for it. So you have to have another skill. And I looked at, like, I didn't do badly at school. I looked at like the engineering route, and as much as it interests me in bits, I don't sit in front of a laptop and look at data all day. I like the just the whole everything involved in it. So being a mechanic, I thought, I you know, if I can learn, and I don't really have an interest in cars, which is a thing that
how interesting.
Yeah, so like when I was a mechanic, you'd sit in your lunchroom or something, and the guys would be talking about different road cars, and I've literally got no idea what they're talking about, and I've just got no interest. Like my road car is a standard car. Like I'm not going to do anything to it. I don't, you know, it does the job that it needs to do. And my interest was like the sport side of it, the management side of it, the competition side of it. So being a mechanic, I had to be a half decent mechanic to progress. But if you work your way up as a mechanic or an engineer, and you want to get into the management, that's, you kind of need to go up to come back down, if that makes
Got
sense.
You. Yeah. Is that the usual route for a team manager then? Because obviously I've never spoken to a team manager before. What's the usual way to get into that position?
Yeah, I'd say it's either kind of ex-drivers sometimes. It's a bit like
Right.
football, I suppose. Like ex-drivers, or yeah, really your what I call like a core race team is mechanics and engineers. It's
Yeah.
it there's not really there's other roles now in motorsport. Obviously, it gets bigger in the marketing media side, but we don't have that day
Yeah.
to day at the track. The people that see it all are the mechanics and the engineers. So
Right.
if you want to, yeah, as a team manager, you have to have kind of done one of those roles because you've got to have a strength. You can't just be a team manager, order the lunch, like hire a few guys. Like you're the last person when there's a problem to decide what
Yeah.
has to be done. And I think like being when I was younger, I was working with like drivers and getting to know them, and then I was more interested in that side of things as well, which gave me a you know helped me what I'm doing now, where I have to deal with everyone.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
So, as I said, did some digging, saw that you were working at Formula E for a bit while it was first starting out, basically. How was it working in that series at that time? And how can you sort of, obviously, you're not in it now, but how do you think that differs to today?
Yeah, so I actually the story was I got a job as a team manager when I was 23, and I quickly re it was in a fairly good team, and it is exactly what I wanted. It was in a junior formula. It was kind of the lowest team in that lowest championship in that team, and I at 23 you had to hire people who'd never done any motorsport, and I was trying to teach people while I was trying to learn the job myself. And
Yep.
I was not sleeping, staying at the workshop every night, having to
Right.
raise every night. That was probably the hardest I've worked in terms of like wanting everything to be right on a low budget. And that's where you learn the most, I think, is when you have to make do. And
Yeah.
so at that point, I did that for 3 or 4 months. And then the Formula E thing started. I got a chance to go and work with a team that was being kind of run by an F1 team.
Right.
So it was kind of like a new thing that was happening. It was interesting. I knew I was kind of in too deep and I didn't want to mess it up before I'd
Yeah.
even been given the chance. So I did a couple of races as a team manager, and it was going okay. But yeah, I had this chance to like go and learn a bit more before I was ready
Yeah.
to do it properly. I didn't
I get you.
reputations are so big and or easily ruined in
Yeah.
motorsport. It really is such a small world that I didn't want to ruin it at that point. So yeah, Formula
Course.
E, it was interesting. As a mechanic, it was fairly basic.
Okay.
It was slightly different, really. It was a similar car to every other car, apart from your engines replaced by a battery. I think there's a lot more of the engineering side of it and the strategy,
Yeah.
and yeah, I did that for 3 or 4 years, and I was doing other bits in between, and it was interesting. It was quite nice actually to go to different circuits, like different cities.
Yeah.
I'd spent quite a few years traveling Europe and the world to kind of the same circuits. Everyone
Right.
loves places like Spa and Nürburgring, but if you've been there 10 times, it's all a bit the same. So it was good fun to go and see something a bit different, like change of scenery and do things a bit differently. But
Definitely. And you were with Virgin Racing Formula E team for a little period. Did you ever get to meet Richard?
I think I walked past him in the garage. I'm not.
Oh, he never gave you any words of wisdom or anything like that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, you see people like that. I guess like being in this environment now, you see, say, famous people. Like I worked with, I don't want to name drop people. I was trying to
No,
stay
go
away
on,
from
go
them.
for it.
Yeah, no. So when I back in like 2012, 13, I did a bit of work with like Lando Norris. I've worked with a lot of the Formula E drivers. They probably don't even remember me or whatever. But it's if you've meet these people at like the young age, then you see them later on and you don't really think they're a celebrity.
Yeah, I get you.
I was there, you're there to do a job as a
Course.
mechanic, and while they're if there's crowds of people, I'm I hate crowds of people. So
Right.
there's a celebrity there with a crowd of people around them, I'll go to the other side of the room. But...
Okay, yeah.
yeah, no, I'm not that fussed about celebrities.
Fair enough, fair enough. So, as you've progressed through different roles, which do you think has been able to give you the most transferable skills into the role you're in today?
good question. I don't know, am I allowed to say that you kind of sent me these questions before and
Yeah, of
I
course
should have
you
been prepared, but I don't have the
can.
answer to this one. I think it, not really. I think just general life skills and things and wanting to do that role. You kind of when I was a mechanic, I was taking more notice of what other people were doing as well.
Yeah.
What's the team manager doing on a daily basis? Where is he? Who's he talking to? You know, if I get into that role, who am I going to be talking to? What do I need to know, kind of thing. Not
Right.
just what size spanner do I need, kind of thing. It was, yeah, I was always looking at like how things were organized, how things were planned, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I went over to Australia for a few years, and I was like number one mechanic and almost self. Named crew chief, but just tried to. You're in a job, and if things you can do your job really well, but if like the three or four people around you aren't organized, then you're
Yeah.
waiting for them. So if I could get them organized before I did my job, then everyone was, you know, a step forward. So that was
Yeah, I
kind of
guess
what I
you're
ended
just
up
picking up
doing.
those skills along the way as you progress, so it just kind of naturally happens anyway.
Yeah, I think the like people skills and knowing how to work different people, everyone's different, and knowing how to get.
Yeah.
In a way, knowing how to get what you want out of people without
You
them knowing what you're
manipulator.
doing, it's a good skill to have, but obviously I can't give away the secret, so
Yeah. No, I won't give away the full secret sauce. So moving on to now, obviously I mentioned you with high tech. Talk to me about your first race experience as a team manager, obviously away from 23-year-old you now. Did that feel daunting knowing you had that previous experience, or were you a bit more in a mindset where you kind of knew what was going to happen?
My actual first weekend as a team manager with High Tech came about. Well, I got a phone call to say, "Can you drive to Alton Park?" Because one of the mechanics was in. Well, one of the mechanics needed covering, and by the
Right.
time I got there, the team manager had to go home, and the mechanic was still there. So I was then team manager for the weekend.
Right.
So that was with our GB3 team. So it was just a couple of months after I'd started at High Tech. And yeah, you just pick up the rule book and you read it as much as you can in between, making sure that kind of everyone's doing what they're doing. I mean, that was a team that the guys had been there for a while, so it was quite nice to go into. And then on the F4 side of things, we High Tech F4 team was set up kind of by me and my boss Ollie Oakes. So
Okay.
it was new, everything was new, all the staff were new, all the equipment was new, the cars were new. And our first test was out in Dubai, and it was kind of yeah trying to, and then the first race I was out in the UAE as well. So we packed up a container that should have had everything for 5 weeks, but obviously not knowing the cars at that point, we didn't, you know, you have to go as prepared as possible.
Yeah.
We have too much of one thing, not enough of another, and you just have to make do. And to be honest, like the racing side of it, I've learned to like. Hopefully I've learned there is some ITV footage out there of me losing my cool somewhere in 2022 at Brands Hatch.
Insert clip now.
But like generally I think just keeping your cool, like at the end of the day when the race starts there's only so much I can do.
Yeah.
If the car comes in with damage, we deal with it. There's no point panicking and running around. In F4, if you've got damage, your race is over anyway. So obviously you get excited and the adrenaline kind of starts if you guys are having a good race. But yeah, it's kind of nice to stand back and watch sometimes and
Yeah.
take it all in. And again, like I'm really privileged to ha say I'm like the team manager of this team. It's a pretty cool thing to have. I still think I'm like fairly young team manager, so I should have a few years yet. But yeah, just going up against like almost people that I was a mechanic 10 years ago and they were team managers then, and now I'm against them in the same role.
Yeah.
It's good fun. So,
Yeah. Definitely. So you have an extensive range of drivers with you this season. Could you tell me a little bit about what you are most looking forward to when working with them and who they are?
Extensive range of drivers slash personalities, I'd say.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have this year we have four drivers. We had four in UAE, and three of those are then racing in the British F4 series. So we've got Deegan Fairclough, who he won a competition at the end of 2022, which kind of has launched his career a bit. He finished third in the championship last year with another team. And you know, if you're going to choose who you want, you know, I don't know, like fantasy football, I suppose, if you look at championship last year and you think, well, the top two are always going to move up, who's next, who would you want to sign? So yeah, we put that deal together. So he's promising. I think he just needs a little bit of calming down sometimes. But the you know, you can't tell a racing driver not to race. So
Of course.
you it you and you also can't teach them that like racing instinct of like going for a move if there's a gap. Like, so it's better having it, you know, having to try and calm down a bit than the other way around, rather than try and make them angry almost.
Get you.
So we've got him, we've got Gabriel Stilp, who was with us last year. Like he made huge progress throughout the year, starting kind of with limited test days and ending the year with a win at Donington.
Love that.
And you know, when we were quick last year, he was there with the other guys. So he did the odd test day, he'd be quickest. And he's just piecing it all together. So he should be one to watch, as well as all the other three. I have to be very neutral. Mika Abrahams, I'm going in kind of like not favoritism at all, because I'm sure I'll get shot down for this, but I'm going in just who's done the most, I guess, and who's got the most experience. So, and then we've got Mika Abrahams, who was with Fortec last year. I think he missed the first few races because of his age, and was really strong at the end of the year. So the race that Gabriel won, Mika was actually on pole, and it stood his that race stood out because he made moves that he wasn't scared to make. He kind of like stood down the inside. Okay, maybe they didn't all pay off, but it made you think, yeah, well, you know, if we can get him up to speed, he's going to be right up there.
Yeah, he's got something about him.
Yeah, and then we got Reza Seawarthen, who was in Ginetta Juniors last year. He's just raced out in the UAE with us, and kind of justified us going to the UAE and doing that whole program of like the winter series, I suppose you call it, because he went from the target out there for rookies is really like if you're in the top 15, you're doing very well. And he got a podium. He was second in race round four, race two. Okay, reverse grid, top 12. But you've like we said to him, you've got to be in that top 12 in the first place. So it was a wet race in the end. And he took the
All
lead on the
places.
outside of turn one, lap one, and it was only Gabriel who caught him and overtook him. So, but even then, he was leading a race. He could have fought with Gabriel, and he didn't make it hard. He knew that a P2 was like a huge result for him, and then he backed it up the following race by finishing seventh or eighth in the points. So it was, it you know, it's not a fluke. So he'll be, you know, as the he's not classed as a rookie because he's done some F4 races before, but he's our rookie for this year. So it's really, yeah, we've got a very strong lineup. We should be at the front. If we're not, we're probably doing something wrong. So
But yeah, ones to watch then, definitely. Cool. So, as a team manager, then let's kind of delve into your role on a racing weekend. How does that look for you? What do you get up
Pace around and
to?
so at this level, again, like I said before, it's there's really a team manager, some mechanics and some engineers. We're 14 staff, 13 of them are full time, and it's kind of making sure it's from every point. Like the job doesn't stop from we meet at the workshop, we get in the mini buses. Like I usually drive one of them. it's from that point to when we get home, I feel responsible for everyone and everything they do. You can't just duck out for dinner to meet some friends. It's, I'm there to make sure everyone's all right. If it's like setting up, we set up an awning, the cars, the boarding, even inside the truck, the office, the driver's area, everything has to be, we're there to look the best and be the best. It's not just about being fast for us. It's about looking like we're the best team if people walk past. So yeah, keeping that tidy, keeping everyone, it's kind of like a supervisor role, I guess, but then not just standing there and telling what people what to do, like show them. Like if I need to teach a mechanic how to repair something, or if I need to, talk to the engineers about tire strategy, or in terms of which tires we use and when, it's a bit of everything. It's if the truck's got a problem, like it's the ball stops with me. I have to fix it, or I have to
You've
find
got the
someone to
final
fix it.
say.
So has lunch been ordered? Is there enough lunch for everyone? Is there, every tiny thing until we get home is, and then you're automatically thinking about, I'm always like 6 months ahead in planning, if not more, of test days and races and travel and things like that. I'm lucky at Hi-Tech, we have a fairly big team, the whole back at the factory team, team coordinators, finance, people like that, HR. So the guys at the track are the, again, like the core team, but I have to be in touch with all those other people to make it happen. Like years ago, when you're a team manager, you book everything yourself, but you still have to check everything. So it's, yeah, someone else might do the booking, but if the names are wrong on it, I'm the one that, when we get to a hotel and they've got the complete wrong list of names and it's 10 o'clock at night and everyone wants dinner, then you got to step forward and get it sorted.
Definitely. So when you say book, do you mean that you have to still book yourselves into these races, or does it, you mean like hotels?
No, well, everything has to be, you have to have an entry form for everything. So like the championship, you enter at the start of the year, and there's like, I suppose, an entry form for every driver. There's, but then a lot of the test days are all separate. So in F4, we're kind of non-stop. It's kind of funny because the higher up you go, the less track time you get. So in F4, we're on track around 90 days a year. So that's cars running around tracks 90 days a year. So you're away for about 120 nights a year at this, the last, going off the last couple of years. And there's a mix of kind of private test days. We can join other people's test days. There's official test days, all this stuff in between that you don't see when you just turn up at a race weekend. We're there, we could leave a circuit and go straight to another circuit for a test day. And yeah, you've got to tie all that into one calendar and one kind of plan where, okay, when do we need the hotel? When do we need to leave? What, everything from on the weekend is just, I decide when we leave the hotel, what time lunch is, that kind of, there's so much to it, and you've got to be so far ahead of the game. And people like to pick me up on little mistakes on the team timetable, and okay, maybe you have a go and I'll see how you get on.
So that kind of leads me into the question nicely. Outside of a race weekend, then, what does day to day look like for you?
Completely different every day. So whether it's, so I'm really lucky. I've got a really good chief engineer in Matt, I'm going to give them a mention, and a chief mechanic in Dean, who kind of, when I started, I was the team manager and chief mechanic, and we quickly realized I was probably doing a bit too much. And it took a while to get the right people in the right place, but I can lean on them to say, so they look after kind of the group of engineers, the group of mechanics. So I lean on them to be responsible with what they need, and then they can come to me and with anything that they need. So, I order parts or cars, or yeah, I make sure everyone's doing the right thing, but also, like I said earlier, you've got to muck in and do the job yourself. You kind of lead by example in a way. I try to think that I do. So, yeah, day to day, it's thinking, right, I've got some guys going to Zandvoort on Sunday. Have they got everything they need? Everyone's had a week off this week, so I've caught up on all the admin side, whether it's invoices or ordering or, bits of equipment that we've ordered months ago that haven't turned up or things like that. So it's just pulling everything together, and every day is completely different. I've got drivers who turn up for it to use a gym or simulator, and the parents keep me busy with their demands. So I won't name them, because if they do watch this, they'll probably shoot me. But on a Sunday night, I can have a parent text me because they've thought about a flight or a hotel, or have we got the suits ordered, or can we put a sticker on the car? And yeah, it's just dealing with everything. You try and be ahead, and the job list normally grows quicker than you can do it, and then it's finding time to do it all. But yeah, at the workshop, then you're catching up with the other teams in the workshop, and everything we've got. I can't say how many cars exactly we've got, but we've got quite a few F4 cars now. So we've got kind of the UAE cars and the British cars are separate. So I've got two trucks in the UK. I've got two shipping containers currently on the way back from Dubai.
Oh my God.
So it's like juggling all this stuff that's going on. And, in the middle of April, when the UAE cars come back, are we ready for them? That we might have 4 weeks to turn them, like get them ready again. So have we got all the parts we need? Have we got the people in place to do it? And then dealing with people. That's the management side of it, I suppose, is the everyone's a bit different, whether it's someone with a problem at home, or someone wants more money, or someone, if two people aren't getting on, or someone's not pulling their weight, it stops with me of how to deal with it. And that's probably the most challenging of is although it's easy in a way, but it's the bit that sometimes you don't think about, because we say, oh, you're an engineer or a mechanic, and you put them in that bubble, but really everyone's completely different. Everyone's got different things going on at home. I mean, today, which is Friday, I guess, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but we had some really sad news that there was a driver in F4,
I saw about
going
that.
to Joel Pearson, who passed away, and like condolences go out to his family and friends, and it's really sad. And it really brings you, it makes you realize that, we're doing this where we all love motorsport and everyone puts so much effort into it, but there's human beings involved that have things going on that I've had friends with issues recently, and you have to like stop for a minute and say, sometimes it's not that important, like making sure we've got the right color on the car or something like that. But when you've got time to do it, you do. So yeah, it's remembering, I'd easily make all the guys stay till midnight every night just to get everything exactly right. But I've also realized that they won't have a job or a family or a wife or a girlfriend if I make them do that. So
Definitely.
I'll just do it myself.
So switching to this season now, which race are you most looking forward to this year?
Thruxton, I'd say.
Okay. When's that?
Good question. Sometime round four, I'd say. I should know the dates, but no, Thruxton, because we have a pretty good record at Thruxton. In so we started F4 in 22, and we had two races there, 22, and one race there last year. And apart from two reverse grid races, out of nine races, we've won seven, and we've had every pole position there, like on lap time. So we kind of nicknamed it our house, but even though it's down the road a bit, but that's been a good one to us. So we've always been quick there. The other one's Silverstone, because I live kind of 10 minutes from Silverstone, the workshop. It's our home race. I've grown up around Silverstone, and last year, we actually got a 1, 2, 3, 4 on the road, which was a pretty good achievement. Unfortunately, the driver in fourth got a penalty for overtaking someone off track, so it was a 1, 2, 3. But it was that was a pretty that was probably one of my favorite moments as a team manager is, you know, the whole, because the one, sorry if I'm going on a bit here, but
no,
one of the things with my job now is you, only one driver can win. So if you've got four, even if you get 1, 2, 3, 4, the guy in fourth is wondering why he wasn't quicker than his teammates.
Yeah. So
you have to, like, I've learned to celebrate the good bits when you can, but then you've quickly got to switch as to, you know, one driver's crashed. So, you know, go and deal with him, whether it's in the medical center or just working out what happened. You can't have everyone happy. So Silverstone was a good one because it, even as a mechanic, when you, your car is winning, it's great. If the car on the other side of the garage is winning and you're as much as you celebrate with them, you're a bit jealous, I guess, but your car. So to have 1, 2, 3, 4 and the whole team come together and celebrate, it was it was a pretty cool moment. And then we got home that night because we lived down the road, so it's
perfect. But I hope you went out for a drink and everything.
We had one or two.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. Politically put.
I think we went straight to a test day after that. So we didn't get much time off. But that's my fault, so I can't really complain.
So when can we next see you and the guys out on track?
That was a question I wasn't expecting. So now I need to no, I'm joking. We actually start testing on the 5th and 6th of March at Silverstone, which is an official test. I guess anyone that watches this, I quite often get asked that, you know, how can I come along to a test day? Can I come have a, if you're smart enough, you can turn up at a test day at, say, Silverstone or Donington or any of these tracks that if it's advertised online as a test day you can book, you only have to turn up and, I don't know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but you only have to turn up.
Looks like you're there, meant to be there.
Well, you just say, I'm with a team, or, you know, pick a team name that's there, have a guess. And you can easily walk up and down a pit lane. And that's, you know, people want to get involved in motorsport. They don't come up to me at a race weekend and say, how do I get involved? Like, go to a test day.
Yeah.
Go and have a look. Go and, in, like, you know, see how things are working. Walk up and down a pit lane. It's so, if you know how to get in, it's so easy to walk in and have a look around. Mm. And that's where you'll get closer to anything than you ever will at a race weekend. Yeah. But actually, to answer your question, the first race is the end of April, which is the last weekend in April, which is the first BTCC round. So that's when we're officially on track.
Amazing.
You actually do like 18 test days before that. So
we're, oh my gosh.
Again, you don't, the side of it you don't see is we get back from the UAE, we test nonstop until the first race. And then,
and how many rounds of racing are there?
In British F4 is 10. In the UAE, there's 5 in 6 weeks.
So there's more testing than racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'll let you get on with your Friday evening now.
You make it sound like I've got loads of plans and it's really exciting. I'll pretend that's
I'm
the
truth. I'm going to go watch Drive to Survive.
Yeah, I'm not. Can I say I'm not a fan of that?
Of course you can. It's fine.
Okay. I think it's been great. I think it's been like really good for motorsport. But it makes people think that all this stuff goes on all the time. And yeah, it maybe doesn't, but it's good.
I like it can definitely be dramatized, can't it, on that?
How many people have got involved in motorsport because of it is great. I think that's like the boom in F1 has really like trickled down to our level. You see people at the track who wouldn't normally get involved and now involved. And yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, perfect. Well, have a great evening. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I will hopefully maybe see you at some races in the future. I'm hoping to get down to a few. So if you catch me strutting up and down the grid in the Formula 4 testing.
Well, there you go. You know
your advice.
You now have to get in now. So
thank you.